People murdered by the Lee Furrow gang. Could you venture some thoughts in that direction?
Can you answer me for me?
Well, the bloody coveralls were brought in by the girlfriend. That evidence was destroyed. Everybody knows that around this case.
Right.
So, just opening that door a little bit.
Well, we can talk about that. I can tell you all about that. Kevin, you want to comment on that at all?
That's how critical. Broader implications of your case. The broader implications.
Oh, if the governor looks at my case with an open mind, and he sees what everybody else looks at my case sees, that this can potentially shut down the death penalty out here in California. Because this is not this happening to me. I am not so special of a person that these prosecutors and these police would dislike me. They would withhold evidence in my case and not do it in nobody else's case. I'm just lucky enough to have the people who I've had fight for me to expose this stuff. But this is running rampant throughout this criminal justice system. This really has been. So hopefully, we can put some rhythm in my situation. We can stop this thing from being started back up. And I'm committed to seeing that it doesn't start back up. I'm on the front line of this one. And if I have to get up out of here, I'm going to be right here with you. And I'll go to yours to shut this thing down for good. What they think of that data. Thank you. sit here too. I'm worried about what I do. Because of the supernatural stuff that we sit here, there's only a few of us to speak up. And that's a damn shame. But that's right. That's reality.
So you can steal a car that there are keys in. Made no sense whatsoever. The bloody coveralls, somebody asked about the bloody coveralls. And this ties into what's happened subsequently. The bloody coveralls were turned in by a woman named Diane Roper, who lived with Lee Furrow in Mentone, which is right, I think, I don't know, 70-some-odd% of the adult population in that town had been in prison, had been in jail, including Lee Furrow, who was part of, somebody mentioned, the gang who brutally murdered Sue Kitts, 17 or 18-year-old girl, because she, they were afraid she was going to spill the beans on Clarence Ray Allen. Okay, so you've got these coveralls, and for the longest period of time, an officer with the sheriff's department said that nobody asked him about the coveralls, and so he just decided to throw them away. And he threw away bloody coveralls. I mean, anybody you ask, they go, nobody in their right mind would do that. Well, it gets worse. We learned, and this is a fact that was not known at the time of trial, it was not known all throughout his appeals until we discovered it in 2004, that not only did he throw away the coveralls, but he was in fact instructed by Sergeant Schreckengost to do exactly that. And he did exactly that. These coveralls were coveralls that were turned in, found in the closet of Lee Furrow's home. The other fact that really set things going is a woman who lives up in Nevada City, and if I'm going on in too much detail, I'll stop, you know, and you guys can read all about this. By the way, the book Scapegoat, the Chino Hills murders and the framing of Kevin Cooper, I highly recommend it. It's an award-winning book by a guy named Pat O'Connor, who wrote a book on Mumia first, and then he wrote this. But in any event, a woman was watching TV, and she saw that the governor, Schwarzenegger at the time, had denied clemency. And she then calls the governor's office and says, wait a minute, Kevin Cooper did not, she just, you know, our question was, where the hell have you been? That Kevin Cooper did not commit this, and that in fact she was in a bar with two other women, one of whom she couldn't remember, one of whom she could. Three men walked into the bar. This woman is a phlebotomist by profession, by the way, so she knows, presumably, when she sees blood. And saw three men walk in, each of them had blood on them. And so she called the governor's office to disclose this information. The governor's secretary answered the phone and said, thank you very much. We'll be back in touch with you. They did not get back in touch with her. The next, 2 days later, she called me, and we were off to the races. And then, as I say, ultimately, or shortly thereafter, that was the week before Kevin was to be killed, we were able to get a stay. Now, last thing, and then I'll stop. Just to give you a sense on the people involved, one of the persons who was with the sheriff's department at the time was, he actually resigned, they never went after him criminally, for stealing 5 pounds of heroin from the evidence locker in another case and selling it. That was one of the key investigators in the case. The second person is the sheriff, Tidwell at the time, who he and his sons did plead guilty to stealing rifles and other guns that are recovered in the course of crimes. So that was Sheriff Tidwell at the time. And then the third person is a fellow by the name of Gregonis. He's still there. This is not the first time he's been accused of this tampering. There's a case just about to be argued before the Court of Appeals accusing him of planting, which is what we had here. So, a couple things I want to mention because there's some notable people here. One is Lisa Perlman, And if you don't know Lee, she has written a book called The Sky's the Limit, which is about a number of different cases throughout the 20th century. And she is now separating out the death penalty trial of Huey Newton into its own book and is close to completing a documentary that, what's Richter's first name?
Bob
Richter in New York is directing, and I've seen parts of it. It's superb, and the book is really well, very, very well written. So I want to recognize these for being here. And there are some brochures, so keep... I think, unless anybody has any questions or wants to, I'll hang around. May 1 rally, the Longshoremen are having a rally in San Francisco. I'm not sure exactly where it starts, but it's easy to find out. Richard, do you know?
There's actually two marches. There's actually going to be two marches happening on May Day, which is about 2 weeks from now. One of them is going to be in San Francisco. ILWU Local 10, which is the Longshoremen, are going to be going on strike. And in the East Bay, there's also going to be a march. Now, the brother over there earlier on had asked what it is that we could do for Kevin. And one very obvious thing is, I'm not certain about this, but there are some indications that possibly Bernie Sanders may march with one of the contingents on May Day. So if he does that, there's going to be upwards of 10,000 people marching with one of the contingents either in San Francisco or over in the East Bay. So if you were inclined to do something for Kevin Cooper and you're free on May Day, which is a Sunday, so, you know, hopefully you don't have to work, you know, everybody in this room knows more than enough about Kevin to be able to educate other people and pass out flyers or, like, man a table so that we can tell people about his case and raise awareness. So if you're up for doing that, it would be a tremendous help. I'm going to pass around a sign-up sheet, and if you're willing to help out with that, please sign up on there. And also, you can approach me after the event is over, and, you know, we can exchange contact information.
Speaking of signing up, there's if you haven't signed the petition to support putting ending the death penalty on the ballot, we have that there. We also have a petition that you can sign to support Kevin Cooper that will go to the governor, so we'd be kind enough to do that. We got all sorts of stuff. We got t-shirts. I mean, all this stuff goes to help fight the cause. Yes, Lisa?
What's the time frame? When is the governor expected to act
on it? That's a very good question. We wish we knew. We submitted February 17th or so. Our petition for clemency, there is no set time for the Attorney General's office. Presumably Mike Ramos, who is now the sheriff of San Bernardino County. And so we don't know, and we're in contact with the person in charge of clemency, obviously, at the governor's office. And that's a very interesting story. Among the five judges who joined with Judge Fletcher saying that the state of California may be about to execute an innocent man was Judge Paez. And Judge Paez is the person who Judge Paez's clerk, former law clerk, is the person who's now in charge of the clemency aspect of the governor's office. So there you go.
I just wanted to bring to your attention, we have a newspaper here called Endeavor. This was the newspaper edited by Shaka Sankofa, or Gary Graham, when he was imprisoned, you know, in Texas. Very interesting, because this brother when he was arrested when he was 17, he became a national leader of the death penalty, you know, the struggle against the death penalty from inside prison through this paper. You might be interested in reading it. It's there for your taking. Thank you.
Oh, on Chaka Sankofa, Gary Graham, all the eyewitnesses said it wasn't him except the one that was the furthest away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a detail.